Well, I'm excited about the opportunity today to dive in a little bit deeper to the message that we shared last week on dating. Last week, we were sort of talking around this big idea about becoming someone versus finding somebody. And today, I just want to build on that with one big question for all the people in the house today that are in the zone of thinking about going on a date. And I don't know if you're thinking maybe I am going to go on a date or I don't ever want to go on a date, but you're in the zone of the people that we talked about last week. That's the majority of people that are at Passion City Church every Sunday, people that are in that single season of life. And if that's who you are today, then there's an incredible hope, I believe, that God wants to deposit into your life today. And it is a question today that really falls out of the big idea of becoming someone versus finding somebody. And the question I want to ask today is, why date? I think sometimes we start with the what, and it helps us in every area of life to back up and ask the question, why am I doing this? Why do I want this job? Why do I want to get into this grad school? Why do I want to work at this company? Why do I want this to be my major? Why do I want to date this person, or why do I want to date that person? When you bring it all the way down to the base level of humanity, people will say, I saw that guy, he looks cute, he's funny, I want to go out with him, or I saw that girl, look at her, she's beautiful, she's amazing, I want to date her. And that's base level, obviously. But even when you go up a level or two from there, sometimes we forget to ask the question, why? Why do I want to go on a date with this person? And it's got to be more than because they're a nice person or because they're in my class at school or because a friend of mine introduced me to them at work or because I don't have anything else to do tonight or tomorrow night or the night after that or the night after that or the night after that. So therefore, that's why I want to go on a date with them. It beats being by myself. But I want to ask the question, maybe the general question, why date, period? So if you're a middle school or a high school student here and you're maybe not even going on dates yet, you can ask the question, why date? If you're in the zone of dating someone right now, you can ask, why am I dating her? Why am I dating him? And if you're in the place of life where you're single again or circumstances of life have come at you in a way that you didn't expect, and you can maybe start over again with the question, why is it that I want to date in the first place? And I want to offer today that it has to be more than about who you date. Now, that was our whole idea last week, that the world is totally focused on finding somebody. I gotta find somebody. I gotta get with somebody. Where we talked last week about the more important goal in life is to become someone, because reality is you may not find somebody today or tomorrow, but you can become somebody today and you can become somebody tomorrow. And in light of that, you think about the finding somebody is focused on the who. And when you're focusing on the who, you're thinking primarily about you, okay? So just stay with me for a moment. When you're focusing on the who, you're thinking primarily about you. Who do I want to be with? What's my type? What kind of person am I interested in? Who do I want to ask out, or who do I want to ask me out? Who do I want to be with? Who do I want to go to dinner with? Who do I want to go and share this moment with? And the who ends up being about us. It ends up being about you. But if we ask a different question today, and that is not who should I date, but why should I date, then the why leads us up to a bigger conversation. And so without further ado, I would like to put on the table today, let me just clear my throat, maybe we can edit that. And so sorry about that, but it's gonna be that way all day, unfortunately. But when we, without, you know, further discussion, I would like to put the why on the table. And I believe the why in the question, why date, is that you and I were created for something more. And so if I'm thinking about who I'm going to date, I'm thinking about me. What kind of person I want, what kind of relationship I want. But if I step back and I ask the question, why should I date in the first place? Why should I meet someone in the first place? Why should I go out with that guy or hope that she will go out with me? Why should I even go down that road? And I believe the answer to the why is that you were created for something more. And you're like, exactly, that's what I'm talking about. I was created for something more, and the something more I'm pretty sure is him. And when I get to him, I'm going to get the something more that I was created for. But it's bigger than that. You and I were created for more than just a mate. We were created to fall in love with our maker. And in a relationship with our maker, we were created and put on earth to live lives that bring glory to our God. This is the baseline of Passion City Church. In fact, it's the heart and epicenter of everything that Passion is. That there's something in life that's more important than everything else. And the something in life that's more important than everything else is that you and I live our lives, our momentary opportunity on planet Earth, that we live our lives in such a way that our lives reflect back to God His goodness and His worth and His glory, and that our lives reflect to the world that we know and have a relationship with the best thing that you can ever discover in life. And as much as finding a wife is a good thing, that's what Scripture says. As much as it is not good for man to be alone, this is what Scripture teaches. These are not the best things in life. The very best thing in life is to live our lives in such a way that our life leaves a permanent mark on eternity. That our life, that the moments that we spend on earth impact eternity, that somehow we leave a mark on what will last forever. And so if you're a middle schooler, a high schooler, a college student, college age, a single adult, single again, wherever you fit in the spectrum, you've got to first come to the priority of your life, which is I was created by God and for God, and I have an opportunity with my life to make a mark on eternity for the name of Jesus. So if you just reduce all that, we just let all that sift down through the relatable series, then we come down to this conclusion. Therefore, the person I date, or the person that potentially is my forever on earth mate, has to be a person who is interested in making a mark on eternity with their life. Because the person I date has to help me with my ultimate mission. And certainly the person I marry has to help me with my ultimate mission. And my ultimate mission is to fall in love with Jesus more and more and to leave a mark on this world for His fame and for His glory. So why date? I want a date because I want a mate who will help me accomplish my greatest purpose in life. So there are four ideas that sort of fall out of this today, and that's the big one, number one, that marriage is about a mission, not about a mate. And I say that as a happily married person who married the greatest person on planet Earth. I won the marriage lottery. I could not improve on my married position. And that's a great place to be in life when you look around and you're like, I couldn't improve. I couldn't upgrade in any way from the person that I married. And my life on earth is radically different because of the gift of Shelley in my life. And so I'm not devaluing how important it is to have a stellar gift from God in your life as a mate. It is important, but our life and our marriages are about more than a mate. Our lives and our marriages are about a mission. And that mission drives us and fuels us and aims us and keeps our lives on target in year one, in year 10, in year 50, in year 70, however many years there are. That mission keeps our lives moving to the right conclusion. And I hear people say all the time, oh, did you hear so-and-so is dating, or so-and-so got engaged, or so-and-so got married? And if you don't know them very well, you're like, oh, that's great. Who's the guy? And they're like, oh, he's the most wonderful guy. He's got the best job. She's the most lovely person. She's a really talented individual. And that a lot of times is where the story stops. So-and-so got married, so-and-so got engaged, and we're all happy because he's a nice guy. Now, obviously, God doesn't want you to marry a jerk, and God's purpose and plan for you is not to marry somebody who is not a nice guy. And I hear people say all the time, no nice guys for me, I want a bad boy, and I don't even know what that means. I want a bad guy, none of these little nice guys are gonna work for me. Okay, I don't understand all that. I know that God's purpose and plan for you is not to bring someone into your life that's gonna be a negative force in your world, who's not gonna treat you the way you deserve to be treated, who's not gonna provide for you in the way you deserve to be provided for, who's not gonna honor you in the way that you should be honored, and who's not gonna, in humility with you, serve the people around you in the way that Jesus would serve them. That's the kind of guy that God wants to bring into your life. But it's not enough for us to settle and say, oh, he's a nice guy. She's a lovely person. Oh, she's so talented. Oh, he's got such a great job. Oh, he came from such a great family. That's a starting point. And so when somebody says, oh, don't you worry, they're getting married, but it's great because he's a nice guy, you want to ask a few more questions, don't you? Because it's not enough to say, I got a good mate, because marriage is not ultimately about a mate. It's ultimately about a mission. And can I just be really honest about this? It's tragic when you find somebody who marries a really nice guy and they move into a really nice neighborhood and they have a really nice house and a nice pet and end up having some nice kids and they have some nice friends and they do nice things and they go nice places, and at the end of their life, there was no mission that marked eternity. And at the end of the day, their marriage became about their mate. We loved each other. We lived a happy life together. We went around the world together. We had a family together. And at the end of the day, we're still together. And that's a good goal, but that's not the whole goal. And so God jumps into the equation today and he says, okay, you want to meet somebody to spend the rest of your life with, right? Isn't that sort of right in there? I just want to find somebody to spend the rest of my life with, somebody that gets me, somebody that I can get them, and together we can spend our lives together. But God comes into that and says, and then what? You're like, what do you mean, and then what? We're going to spend the rest of our lives together, and then we're going to, one of us is going to pass away, or both of us are going to pass away, and we're going to end life. That's what happens to people. And then God says, okay, and then what? And then the what is, we're going to stand face to face in the presence of this God who has created us and breathed life into us and restored us and redeemed us and gifted us and placed us in a family and a body, and he's given us opportunity and ability to fix what is broken, to shine light in what is dark, to call up what has been pressed down, to make a mark on the world, to engage with the nations, to spread the gospel and build the church. And it doesn't matter if you're a banker or a teacher or a preacher, this is our mission in life. Therefore, this is the mission of our marriage. And so what God wants to do is bring a man or a woman into your life who will make you more able and not less able to make a permanent mark in eternity for the glory of God, so that you will realize right away, I could have served Jesus, but you are helping me serve Jesus even more, because together we are more powerful in the mission than we would have been had we been apart. You know, I remember when Shelly and I got married, it was goofy. I was going to show a photo, but I didn't get permission to do that. I had this kind of janky little Sofro thing going, you know. It wasn't really a full afro, so I just call it a Sofro. It was somewhere in the middle of all that, and I had, you know, my suit on, and Shelly had this incredible kind of, I don't know, for my money, Victorian-looking wedding dress with a hat, you know. Not a lot of people wear a hat, and it was amazing because she was amazing, and I do remember there were calla lilies in the mix because that was her flower of choice, and I remember that when we went up onto the platform, you know, you first come down the aisle, down to the front, then you kind of come up onto the thing, and normally you're standing here, and she's standing there, and the pastor standing there, but we kind of wanted to see the people, so we actually turned around this way, so I'm standing here, and she's standing there, and the pastor's standing there, and all the people are out there, because I'm like, hey, we're going to make these confessions in front of all these people. We want you to see us, and we want to see you, and I just remember coming down to the middle of our wedding, and there was a song that was being sung that was really important to us. Obviously, like any song that you would choose at your wedding would be important to you in that moment of life. And I remember us standing there holding hands together and singing sort of under our breath this song, and what was in our hearts more than anything else on that day. It wasn't, man, can't wait to get to the honeymoon. It wasn't, can't wait to move into our first apartment. It wasn't, can't wait to see what life's going to be like when we don't have to drive home at night anymore. I remember holding hands and our hearts beating, and what we were thinking was, Jesus, we just want to make you known in the world. We just want our lives, the two of us today. We don't have any money, and we didn't. We don't know what all the plans are, and we didn't. We don't know what the road looks like. How could we have known what the road would have looked like? We don't have a lot, but what we do have is this. We have a conviction today, standing right here and right now, that we love you, I love you, and Shelly loves you, and together our love has been fueled by our love for you, Jesus, and we want these two lives to count for you in this world. We don't know how, we don't know where, we don't know when, we don't know all the details or any of the particulars, but we want these lives to count for you. And that was the heartbeat of our wedding day. I'm telling you, it wasn't, man, you're gonna be knocked out by the cake. It wasn't, wow, look how many hundreds and hundreds of people came. It wasn't about any of the exterior stuff. It was about two people who were so idealistic that they really did believe that if they put their lives on the table, that God would take those lives and use those lives to touch other people's lives for His glory, for His kingdom's sake in the world. That's what we planted in last week, Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things." What? Where are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? Where are you going to live? How are you going to pay your bills? Where are you going to get the wherewithal to do life? All these other things will be added to you. But the mission is not to find a mate. The mission is to make a mark on eternity, forever. And if your mate can help you do that, then you should date them and marry them. Because you then answered the question, why date in the first place? Is it just to have something to do today? Is it just so that I'm not going to be alone again? Is it just because physically I'm attracted to this person and I can't stop thinking about how beautiful their eyes are, and I just gotta get in a moment where I can stare into those eyes all night long? Is that what it's about? Or is it lifting up to a bigger standard to say, I tell you why I'm dating, because I'm looking for a mate that can help me accomplish my mission in life. And my mission in life is to love Jesus and to make Him known in the whole world in the 5 seconds I get to live on planet Earth. That's the mission of my life. You know, we talked about this diagram last week, and you got this guy and you got this girl, and you know, you would think that if you want to build the strongest possible relationship, that they then would just pursue each other with all the intensity of their heart. But we added Jesus into the mix. We added into the reality that we are created by God and for God. And so the man's primary relationship is with God. And the woman's primary relationship is with God. Because they may have been created to have a relationship with each other, but they were created by God. And so that becomes the primary relationship. And so what is the goal then? For us to pursue each other with all of our heart? Or is it to find our strength in pursuing Jesus with all of our heart? And you say, well, I thought I was supposed to love my wife like Christ loved the church, and I was supposed to honor my husband and come alongside and lift up his life so that together we can make a difference in the world. Those things are true, but the way we get stronger in our relationships with our husbands, with our wives, with all the people in our lives, honestly, is we pursue that common relationship in Jesus, and then look what happens. As we move closer in our love for Jesus, we end up in the closest place in our relationship with each other. We understand that marriage, and therefore dating, is not about the mate, it's about the mission. Second big idea is this, that mission informs our options starting right now. That mission, if you buy into that, now you may not buy into that today. You may say, yeah, I don't believe in that mission. I think life's about what you want it to be. I think you just eat, drink, and you're married because, hey, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I think you find somebody you like. You build a life with them. You see where it takes you. That's all life is about. And that's an option. But if you buy into the idea that I am here for a momentary, you know, journey on earth, and I can turn that momentary journey into something extraordinary, if I make it count for eternity, then that mission, number two, is going to inform your options right now. In other words, physical attraction aside, and we all have it, you've got your type, and you know, she walks through the door and you fall on the floor, he walks through the door and you spill your coffee on your computer, and we all have that reality, right? But above that, you get really quickly too, but is your heart on fire for the mission? And if it's not, I don't care how gorgeous you are, it's not gonna work for me, because I'm on a mission and I need somebody to be on that mission with me. Is there a flame burning in your heart? So that when we get to that moment, and Lord willing, you will, and we're standing at that altar, and my heart is in love with Jesus, is this heart gonna be just as in love with Jesus as mine? You know, this passage of scripture that people always bring up to us when they don't like the person we're dating. You know the passage I'm talking about? So you meet somebody, you go out a couple of times, and eventually somebody starts quoting scripture to you, and they're going to start quoting this passage to you right here. But it's an amazingly powerful passage, because it's set against the backdrop of our calling as the people of God. And I love that, because it's like the question, why date? It just elevates the conversation. And Paul is writing to believers who have lost their unique identity in the world. And so they've just gotten to that place where they talk like, act like, walk like, think like, do like everybody else in the world. And they've missed that unique sense that we do want to be able to relate to all people, but the goal has never been to be like everybody. We do want to become all things to all men so that by all means we can reach some, but the goal has never been to just be run-of-the-mill State of the Union people. And so he's calling them back to more, and this is what he says. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? And obviously, they would know instantly what he's talking about. Because a wagon would be pulled by two oxen, or a farmer would be plowing with a team of oxen, or two mules would be together pulling a load down the road. And people understood that once you got in that yoke together to accomplish that common mission together, it was important who you were in that yoke with. And so he's saying, as believers, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. He's not saying you're better than unbelievers. He's not saying you're more high and mighty than unbelievers. He's not saying you shouldn't know any unbelievers. He's not saying you shouldn't be in proximity to unbelievers and love unbelievers. He was just saying, don't get in the yoke where the common objective and mission of life depends on you two people pulling the same direction, the same way over the long haul of life. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ, and he uses a word here that basically just means our enemy. What harmony is between them? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And so this is the next passage where, you know, some strains of the church take this completely to one extreme and say, we're going to huddle up inside the four walls of the church. We'll never see anybody, talk to anybody, relate to anybody, or interact with anybody on planet Earth. And that's not the implication here, nor is it the implication of the mandate of the gospel to take the story of Jesus to all the people on the planet. But there is a call for us to make sure that we're thinking about our distinction as God's people. And so he says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So what does this mean to you and me? It means that if you are thinking, I have a mission in life, and the mission is Jesus, to know him and to make him known. Therefore, if I get married, I want the mission of my marriage to be Jesus, to know him and to make him known. Therefore, if I'm dating somebody, I want the mission of my dating somebody to be knowing Jesus and making him known. Then it means that if the person I'm dating doesn't know Jesus, then I'm dating the wrong person. If the person I'm thinking about marrying doesn't know Jesus, and I don't mean like I went to church when I was 12, or my dad was a pastor, or I read in a book somewhere there was a guy named Jesus, and I'm fine with that. I mean, if he doesn't have, or she doesn't have, that flame in her heart for Jesus, then can I just tell you today, if you have a flame for Jesus and they don't have a flame for Jesus, you're marrying the wrong person. You know, how do you know? You don't even know them. I don't need to know them, but he's a wonderful guy. Doesn't matter. He has an incredible job. Doesn't matter. Oh, but she's so lovely. Doesn't matter. Oh, she's so gifted and has so many abilities. Does not matter, because you are now going to join up in the process of doing life together. You're going to have to assume some kind of mission in life, whatever it ends up being, and you're going to be in the harness, in the yoke, in the inseparable position with a person whose bedrock value, bedrock thinking, and bedrock passion is different than yours. And you can mitigate that with all kinds of upper level common interests, but you can never resolve that your bottom line and their bottom line are different bottom lines. And if that's the reality, then your mission is going to inform today your options. And so when you think about who you're hanging around that you might potentially go out with, because the people you're going to marry are going to come out of the pool of the people that you're hanging around and dating potentially, You're not going to put anybody in play in that equation who already doesn't have a heart that's beating for the common mission that's beating in your heart. The third big idea is this, that the moment that you are currently in is the most precious moment you have with relation to the marriage that you hope for. Now say that one more time. The moment that you are currently in is the most precious moment you have in relation to the marriage that you are hoping for. See, I think a lot of times we get stuck in this idea that, you know, right now I'm just floating around, I'm 26 years old, I'm hanging out in life, and one day I'm going to find somebody, and one day we're going to settle down, and one day we're going to get married, and one day we're going to live happily ever after, and one day we're going to spend all this time together, and one day we're going to build a family, and one day there's going to be this future, but that future most likely is predicated on the moment that you have right now, because right now you are in the driver's seat of deciding if you're the right person that you want to be ready for the person that God wants to bring into your life. The biggest misconception that I have found that single people have about marriage is single people think when you get married, it solves all the problems that you have in life. So whatever you're dealing with, if I could just find the right person and get married today, that's going to fix all my problems. I got financial issues right now, but man, when I find the right person, somehow we're going to be able to work it out together, and that's going to solve all of those dilemmas. There's somebody right now thinking, porn is a big player in my life right now, but when I find somebody, we're going to have real sex, and when we have real sex, the whole porn thing and all the years of seeds that has sown into my life, that'll all go away when I find somebody, that'll all get fixed. I've got like an anger issue, but man, when I find Mrs. Wonderful or Mr. Wonderful and they come into my life, the anger is going to resolve and dissipate on the honeymoon, and that's all going to go away because I'm going to meet the greatest person in the world, and when I meet them, everything's going to resolve in my life. And all the married people are just in the room right now going, wow. And all the single people are going, it's not like that. And the married people are going, let me talk to you after the gathering today. Marriage doesn't fix what's wrong with us. Marriage accentuates what's wrong with us. So if you're angry now, like you have an unresolved anger issue in your life right now, and you find Mr. Wonderful, and maybe somehow you kind of hide the anger issue a little bit because you don't want that to blow up the possibility of the engagement and the wedding, and there was that one time where the anger kind of went crazy, and they were like, ah, and so you say, I'm not going to do that again, but now you get married, and you live in the same space, and you make the same kind of decisions every single day with this person with regard to values, to how we're going to spend our money, how we're going to spend our time. They see every one of your little flaws, and you see all of their little flaws, and they're not perfect, and you're not perfect, and life's not perfect, and situations are never perfect. Guess what? Your anger can only be hidden for so long until finally it is going to come up and burn down your marriage. Because now it's not just I got mad and slammed the door and stormed off and went back to my apartment, back to my singleness, back to my little domain of life to where I have control. Or maybe I just said, I don't want to date you anymore, and off you went and I got rid of you and just came back to my little world where I could control it. Listen, when you're married, the only door you can slam is the door to the future, because you are in a relationship that it is God's purpose and plan that you stay in for the rest of your life. And you can take the option of getting up one day and saying, I'm done, slam the door and walk out, but that's just going to domino into a whole bunch of other problems for life. And now that anger that could have maybe been resolved in the right place and time is dominoing out into all kind of destruction, because a marriage is not a resolver of all of our problems. It is an incubator of whatever was going on in our hearts before we got there. And so that's why today is an incredible day for the single people in this house. If you're single today, you should say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are like, I'm not going to confess that. I'm not going to say that. But if you're single today, for the majority of single people here today, you could say amen and thank you, Jesus, because that means today I have one more opportunity to let God prepare me for the person that he wants to bring into my life. And if I've got anger, I need to resolve that. If I'm selfish right now, man, you know, a friend of mine said to me before I got married, he said, you know, if selfishness is a two-bedroom apartment when you're single, it's a 77-room mansion when you're married. Because you can't go anywhere in a marriage relationship without having to bump up against the question, am I going to humble myself and put the other person and their needs in front of mine? And this is where all relational tension in marriages has its root. It all gets traced back to whether I'm willing to put you in front of me, to put your needs in front of my needs, to put your desire in front of my desire, to serve you and not make you serve me, to lift you up over what I wanted to be lifted up into. This is the mutual submission of marriage, which is the heart of Christ and the Spirit. And this is what makes marriages great. And what makes marriages difficult is when I want it my way, and I'm going to get it my way no matter what your way is. And that becomes the garden from which everything grows that begins to choke out the hope of a marriage. And if you're selfish today and you're single, then say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm selfish and single. Because being selfish and single means you can help me work on my selfishness today. And I'm going to commit myself to a plan of selfishness adjustment. Why? Because I want to meet somebody and I don't want to wreck our relationship. Well, why do you want to do that? Because I want to have a great marriage. And why do you want to have a great marriage? Because my mission is to make Jesus known in the world, and I want the best possible marriage to do that. And so therefore, I break it all the way down today to this point of saying, God, whatever you need to work on in me, let's start working on it right now. What is the thing? I mean, what just comes immediately to your mind? If you need to go pray about it and make a list, then you're perfect and you're good. We should just put you up in one of the frames in the hallway next week and say, this ready to go, you know, perfect. But if it were me, and I know what's sifting up in my mind right now, and it's for most of us in the room today who know we're not perfect, what is that thing that has already risen up to the top of your list? I don't take good care of myself. I have habits in my life that are destructive now, and wow, I'm understanding what you're saying. They're not going to, excuse me. I have habits in my life that are destructive now, and based on what you're saying, they're not going to go away when I get married. I have a drinking problem now. Guess what? I'm going to have a drinking problem then. I'm terrible with money now. I spend more than I make. I don't have any self-control over my finances. I get in debt. I'm the reason why they send you all those credit card things in the mail, because I go for every single one of them, and my whole financial house is a disaster right now. Guess what? You're going to get in a relationship with somebody, and that's what you're going to bring into your relationship. And so whatever it is, what is sifting up to the top of your list today? And don't feel bad about it. Don't go, oh man, you know, I've just got so much stuff to work on. No, say, thank you, God, that I'm still single so you can work on this in my life and prepare me to have the best possible shot in the relationship you're going to put me in. Now, none of us are going to get perfect before we get to the altar. Hello? You don't have to check off the boxes when you come down the aisle and say, I'm good with money and I don't have any habits and I have great character and I'm not asking God to refine me in any ways. All my relationships are in great shape. No, nobody's going to come perfect. But if you know there are one or two or three things that rise right up to the top of your list that are giant, then why not put the spotlight on those today? And why not shut down the website where we're spending hours and hours and hours reviewing profile after profile after profile of who they are. Why not shut down the website and highlight that thing that if I can get God's grace stirring in this in me, then I can stand at that altar and hold hands with the person God has put in my life and say, come on, Jesus. We just want to go as hard as we can for you. And then the last thing is this, and I'll close with this. That if we really take on this idea that there is a better question than who, and that question is why, that who is about me and why is about Jesus, then the last part of this today is that we want to adjust to kingdom best starting right now. So this is just some pastoral advice. Now, this probably isn't for the person who's hoping to date someone, but you can put it in the bank for later. This is for the person that's in a serious relationship or on the verge of being engaged or engaged. And if that's you, then I want to encourage you that if you believe in the big why, that you right now will adjust to kingdom best right now. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying whatever you can do to orient your current situation. We're almost engaged. We're engaged. We're going to be married in 3 months or 3 weeks or 6 months, or we're seriously dating and I can see engagement definitely in the future. So if there's anything that's crept into your relationship that is not kingdom best, then I want to encourage you to take whatever radical step you need to take to adjust right now to kingdom best. So if I were going to marry you, and I knew that you loved Jesus, so we had that in common, but I also knew that somewhere along the way, you know, way of the world, that you'd started living together, I would ask you, crazy thing, to stop living together until you got married. And then you would say, well, why would we do that? We're already living together. I'd say, I know, but it will honor God for you to do it God's way. And if you can show God that you want to honor him and doing it his way in these last 7 months before you get married, then you're setting yourself up to show your spouse that you can do it God's way when you get married. Because right now, what you're doing is undermining, hello, their confidence in you to lead your family the right way in the future. Because there's something in their heart as a Jesus follower, and there's something in your heart as a Jesus follower called the Holy Spirit, who's saying, this is not the right way. And what you're doing is you're brushing that off, saying, I know, but just a couple more months, we're going to be married. So we've already slept together, so we can't undo that, and a couple more months, we're going to be married. So we're already crossed over some lines we shouldn't have crossed over, but hey, a couple months from now, we're going to be married, and so let's just get to married because that will fix all this, and it won't fix all this. The only way to fix this is to fix this. And so I want to ask you to step up, especially if you're that guy. And so you know what? We've already crossed some lines that we shouldn't have crossed. We've already let some things creep in our relationship that we know aren't a part of the ultimate mission. We've already made some choices that are probably not choices that the Spirit of God led us to make. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a big, bold statement and say, we're going to do whatever it takes to unwind that until the moment comes that God puts our lives together. And we're not going to be afraid of whatever that looks like. I'm going to move out. Yes, I'm moving out. In fact, I'm going to have to go to some people and say, you didn't even know that I moved in, but I had actually moved in, and now I'm moving out. And in moving out, we had to put some crazy parameters on our relationship. It kind of looked like this passage, come out from among them and be separate. We had to actually put that in place. So I don't go to her apartment alone anymore when there's no one there, and she doesn't come to my apartment when I'm alone and there's no one there, because when we do that, things happen that are not good for us in getting our relationship where we want it to be. And so we can come down that aisle and we can't say we're flawless. We can't say we didn't make any mistakes. We can't say, you know, we're blameless in every single way in our relationship, but we can come and say, God, for the last 7 months, we have honored you. For the last 7 months, we repented. For the last 7 months, we yielded to you as the best in our life so that when we stood here with you, it's not weird. When we stood here and said, Jesus, we want you to join our lives together today, we're not asking you to do something today that we didn't allow you to do 4 months ago and a year ago. We're not saying, hey, we've blown you off for a year, but we would love you to bless our marriage right now. And I just think God is kind. Isn't he kind like that? You're like, man, that's convicting me. Well, conviction is good. You don't need to walk out of here today going, man, I'm so sorry I went to church today because dude just rolled right up into my life and got right up in my grill and told me my business and he doesn't even know anything about me or about, you know, the person that I'm dating or the person I'm engaged to. No, you can walk out today and go, thank you, God, for the kindness of helping me know that I have an opportunity right now to adjust to kingdom best in this moment. I can stop. I can move out. We can retool. We can reconfigure. And it may look like middle school kids having to be chaperoned on our dates. And we're willing to do that for the payoff of standing in that moment and saying, Jesus, we did it your way. We honored you because we loved you. We believe that you're the best for us. And now we ask you to bless this union. Bless these vows. Bless this moment. Join our lives together as one beating heart for your namesake now and forevermore. And we can have joy on that day and confidence in that moment. And our story may not be, hey, kids, let us tell you about when we dated. We got it all right. But what a powerful story to say, hey, kids, we didn't get it all right when we dated. But when we were engaged, we saw the love of God and the possibility of a life with him. And we shifted in that moment by the grace of God, and we put kingdom best in our relationship right then and there. And I promise you this, you will have a story to tell at the end of that to the kids. And this is the way we can see the fruit of that working in our lives. You're like, Louis, you are so out of it. I mean, everybody I know lives together. Everybody that's engaged is living together. Atlanta, Georgia, hello, do you get out? And I'm like, I do. And I also read. And I know that the statistics for couples who live together having successful marriages is less, not more, than the statistics of couples who don't live together having successful marriages. Do you know why? Because God is a good, good God. So I want to just call us up today, married or single, to the why. I want to call me up to that today. I want to call me right here and right now up to the why. Why am I here today? Why am I doing what I do today? Why am I living? Why am I breathing? What am I investing in? And I want to call myself back up to this opportunity to make an indelible mark on eternity with my life. And if you're in this single zone, then I hope you take great delight today in knowing that God's helping clarify your options. So a whole bunch of people just got taken off the table for you today. God's giving you a precious moment right now to do things that you can't do later. And think about this. I'm going to close them, but think about this. Think about being married to somebody and waking up one day and going, I want to be doing the things that last. I want to be making the greatest impact on eternity. And that doesn't mean I have to lead passion or plant a church or be some great speaker or be a great Christian somebody or be up front doing stuff all the time. It could be through your gifts, your avenue, your job, your course of life, but how you live, how you treat each other, your generosity, the way that you leave a trail on this earth for God's glory doesn't have to look like the next person's trail.
But imagine that you're saying, I want that. I so want that. But I'm stuck, hello, in a relationship of marriage with a person who doesn't want that. And they're not only not helping me fulfill my mission of loving Jesus and making him known, they're actually hurting the opportunity to fulfill the mission of loving Jesus and making him known. And without blowing up a family, I can't change that. And I know that people change their ways after they get married. I've seen that. But I think most of that tension is traced back to when we were still single. And I just kept thinking, sooner or later, she's going to get it. Sooner or later, she's going to get it. Sooner or later, I'm going to win her over. Sooner or later, she's going to get this vision that I've got. But all the way back there and then, when we made the decision to say, we're going to get in the harness together and yoke ourselves together forever on earth, forever, not in heaven forever, but in the forever of earth, we're going to yoke ourselves together. I kind of knew, but I didn't want to be alone. I didn't want to be single. I didn't know if I was going to have any more options. I'd already waited for a long, long time. And now here I am, 40 years old, just wanting so much to follow Jesus, but I'm stuck in this relationship. And I'm just saying, what a great thing today. To every single person in the house, you're not stuck in a marriage that's going to be less than what you've always dreamed it could be. And so today is the day to say, God, do the work in me. Because I'm going to faithfully pursue you. And I'm going to ask you to come in and rework whatever needs to be done in me. And I'm going to trust you that you're going to bring that person onto the horizon. And they're going to be a person who will stand with me at that altar. And our hearts just might combust into flame for Jesus. And that's worth waiting for and praying for and preparing for and waiting for and dreaming for. So in the meantime, say, Louis, what do I do? I've been waiting. What do I do? Go serve Jesus with all your heart. Just go serve Jesus with all your heart. Get off the website and spend those 3 hours and go somewhere in this city and serve Jesus. Because I think it's a better chance the person you're looking for is on mission than on a website. And I know there are people sitting right here going, oh, I found her on a website. And we did the website. That's great. I couldn't be happier for you. But I believe the person you're looking for is on the way to you serving Jesus with all your heart. So take the time, the opportunity to grow, to serve, to invest. You're single. You don't have a mate. You don't have a marriage. You don't have kids. You don't have a house. You don't have the stuff. You've got an opportunity like never before to grow, to serve, to invest, to be available to God. And as you do that, I have a hunch that he or she is going to appear in that process somewhere as God prepares your heart. Jesus, thank you so much today for always coming around the why. I know that for you, it wasn't just what you did, that you left heaven and came to earth, but it was why you did it. And I know that you made that decision so that you could make the greatest impact on the things that matter the most. Thank you for taking the steps, for yielding your life to restore me and every person in this room to a relationship with God. We love you today. God, I just pray today that you lift up our expectation for our lives. Don't let the gravitational pull of earth shrink us down to smaller dreams today than what you have put in us. And I pray today that there would just be a whole revolution of hope
in the hearts of every single person in this room that there can be someone in their life that will fuel their love for you and together will burn with a common heart for your glory. And we just trust you for that. Give patience to the waiters. Give grace to the people who need to make big adjustments today. And will you give power to people who want to reorient their relationship around kingdom best starting right now? And will you be glorified in it all? Because that's the big why. And that's what we're hoping for. And we trust you for that in Jesus' name.